It's been described as a global superhighway for migratory birds, including many that face the threat of extinction and some from Australia. In fact, the Yellow Sea in northeast China is a feeding area for birds arriving from 22 countries. And last night at a meeting in Azerbaijan, the United Nations cultural body, UNESCO, voted to add two sites on the Yellow Sea to the World Heritage List. It's not the only site to make it. The ancient city of Babylon in present-day Iraq was another, and there are 36 nominations to be considered over the weekend, including a cultural site in Australia. David Sparks filed this report.
Adopted as amended. Approved.
There was joy and relief last night when key sites on the Yellow Sea were added to the World Heritage List.
I was delighted when the decision came through. I was watching it live and over the moon.
Professor Richard Fuller from the University of Queensland is an expert on shorebirds.
This site in China supports huge numbers of migratory species that migrate between Australia and the Arctic and back each year. They stop in these Yellow Sea mudflats to refuel on these huge migration journeys. Most of them breed up in the Arctic and spend the non-breeding season in the southern hemisphere or in the tropics. But there are some incredible migrations. Birds go between Alaska and New Zealand. Birds fly all the way across to India and Myanmar.
Australia put forward some amendments to this listing, didn't they? Do you know the nature of those amendments?
Yeah, the IUCN produced a technical evaluation of the nomination. Their conclusion really was that the site wasn't quite ready to be nominated. But I guess there was strong international concern. So the Australian amendment to the decision said, we think that the value of this site is so important for the globe that it just has to be protected, and this needs to happen right now.
Another decision coming up at this meeting of the World Heritage Committee is the potential listing of one of Australia's most important archaeological sites. More than 6,000 years ago at Budge Bim in southwest Victoria, the Gunditjmara people built and managed a sophisticated network of fish traps, ponds and weirs on the area's waterways to harvest eels and fish for food. It's one of the oldest examples of aquaculture in the world, and the Gunditjmara were still using it in the early 20th century.
You were able to keep water, you were able to basically herd eels, move them from pond to pond, and also open up the system for when it was time for the mature eels to go migrate.
Damien Bell is a Gunditjmara man and Chief Executive Officer of the Gunditjmiring Traditional Owners Aboriginal Corporation. He says Budge Bim, which is near Portland on the Great Ocean Road, was a thriving society. The Gunditjmara used the volcanic rocks found in the area to build a settlement that included stone huts that were covered with wicker and mud.
With the bush foods and all that, plus with the fauna and the kangaroos and all that kind of stuff, it intensified the resources that was there, because when we talk about the population that was living along there, you know, traditionally we always put in about, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 people living around there. It was feeding everyone. And in times of when the drought was around, we know there's places that were built to mitigate against drought, to hold more water there.
What would it mean if Budge Bim was added to the World Heritage List?
Well, the main thing is the protection of the cultural values of Budge Bim, but also just to honour the science and technology and the innovation and engineering of our ancestors.
A decision on whether to list Budge Bim is expected later today.
David Sparks reporting.